Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, y'all, what's up, y'all? How y'all doing? This your homeboy, TTB, live and direct. You know what I'm saying? It is actually Tuesday, October 20th. Fall is officially here. And it was a crazy weekend in boxing, you know what I'm saying? Triple G and David Lemix, you know what I'm saying? They got it in. They got it in so hard, you know what I'm saying? Shout out to my man Cheese out there at B-More, you know what I'm saying, that covered the fight, you know what I'm saying, on the hood media press, you know what I mean? So, but today we're going to be rocking with, you know what I'm saying, up-and-coming boxing star. I actually seen his brother, you know what I'm saying, get busy at the Cosmo. It was a fight I had to cover. It was my first time seeing him. And I think he's like one of the, he's going to be one of those dudes, you know what I'm saying? One of the top guys, you know what I'm saying? Mike and D. Yes, indeed, Reed, you know what I'm saying? So we're going to kick it in and see what's cooking with the brother, you know what I'm saying? What's good with you, homie?
What's going on, man? How you been?
Oh, I'm cooling, man. I just want to say thanks for, you know what I'm saying, tuning in, man. You know what I'm saying? I'm a big fan of yours, bro. You made me a believer, man. Word.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. Appreciate it.
So what makes you want to, you know what I'm saying, go into boxing, man?
My brothers. At the time, I was the youngest of four brothers, you know, four older brothers, and we always fought each other. But the one close to me in age, he was like, I want box. And I'm like, all right. So he started probably five, six months before me, and he wasn't that good starting off, so. Me being a nagging little brother, I kind of picked on him. I was like, man, boxing easy. I can fight. It's easy. He was like, no, it's not easy. So my father let us put the gloves on, and I got beat up. But I'm competitive. Right. So me being as competitive as I am, I didn't get beat up and say, oh, nah, I don't want to box. Actually, him beating me up made me want to box even more. So that's how I started in the sport.
Oh, okay, man, because, you know what I'm saying, I mean, boxing is a very brutal sport, and, you know what I'm saying, your skills have to be up to par, you know what I'm saying, as far as, you know what I'm saying, skills is concerned. So, like, you going on the way, you know what I'm saying, you getting better and better. So, like, who were some of the boxers that kind of maybe, like, had a little influence on you as far as, like, yeah, I can, you know what I'm saying, I can set some records and I can break some records, you know what I'm saying, like, who was that dude for you?
Well, a lot of local fighters, Lamont Peterson, Anthony Peterson, Seth Mitchell, a lot of the local fighters that you know made good names for themselves. I watched Anthony and Lamont Peterson come up through that when they were trying to get the Olympic team, trying to be on the Olympic team. And fell short, but I was just starting to box, you know. I didn't understand what it was then, but I just knew they was doing things and never meant that. You know, Gary Russell, he was actually on the Olympic team. So to see guys like that that I looked up to transition to being a world champion, you know, it's an amazing feeling.
So enough, man, because you mentioned some of those Gary Russell Jr., you know, say Lamont and his brother. You know what I'm saying? Those are some really tough guys, and that's really making some noise. And Lamont just had a fight, you know what I'm saying, against Diaz. And did you happen to catch that fight?
I did. And the crazy thing about that fight was I was Lamont's main sparring partner for that fight. You know, if you watch Diaz, he's a smaller guy. You know, he's 5'6", arm reach. He's built just like me. And he has good movement, so I had the honor of being Lamont main sparring partner for that.
Oh, man. So how did you score that fight, though? Because it was a very good fight, but it was also close. Like, was it closer than the judges had it, or, like, how did you see it?
Well, I thought Lamont definitely won. I thought him winning a majority decision was pretty accurate. I know one judge had it 117, 111. I didn't think he won by that much. I thought it was around 116, 112, 115, 113. But I did definitely think he won. You can clearly see that he was cramping in the fight. And I know Lamont, he always comes on stronger. You know, that's always been a rep on Lamont. The rep is, he'll be there in the later rounds. But Danny Garcia versus Mirkon versus Victor Ortiz, all of those guys, he came on strong. He was a slow starter. So to see Lamont slow down during the later rounds and actually lose some of the later rounds was a, you know, indicator of something went wrong in that fight.
Yeah, because I was just like, wow. You know what I'm saying? It was a very competitive fight, you know what I'm saying? And, you know what I'm saying, shout out to Lamont, but, you know what I'm saying, he came with it. So that was the thing. But the last fight that I seen you had was with Antonio Canes, and that was very entertaining because it's funny because I was covering the fight with my man Cheese. He's from Baltimore. He was out here. Mm-hmm. And so as the press, we get the sheet of paper of the fight schedule. And so then he was like, oh, Mike Reed fighting. I was like, who's that? I never heard of the brother. He was like, you'll see. And so then when I seen you getting busy, man, I was like, wow. I was like very impressed, you know what I'm saying, how you came and how you just dominated and took control of the fight. Like, how was that fight for you, you know what I'm saying, especially being in Vegas and, you know what I'm saying, on the top rank card? Like, how was it for you?
That was a big weekend for me, you know. Like you said, being in Vegas, that was my first time fighting as a professional fighter in Vegas. And then fighting the day before the Floyd Mayweather fight.
But,
you know, it was just,
yeah,
you know, it was a lot going on in Vegas that weekend. And then for me to put on the performance that I did. Coming into the fight, we knew that Antonio, he was definitely going to be there to fight. He didn't come to lay down, and he had heart. But what we also knew was, we also knew that he had a MMA background, which means, you know, they take head shots well. I mean, that's what he was doing. He was taking the head shots well. But it was every time I went to the body, that's when I hurt him. And, you know, the body shot dropped him, of course, and then I went on to stop him. But he was definitely a real formidable opponent for me. He pushed me.
Yeah, that whole card was like straight fireworks, but that fight right there, it just stuck out a lot. You know what I'm saying? I was like, wow, I'm very impressed. So, how would you describe your boxing style exactly? You know what I'm saying? For those that haven't watched you box.
For everybody that hasn't seen Mike Reed fight, Mike Reed is an aggressive counterpuncher. And it's, you know, normally you hear counterpunchers, you think they're boxers, you know, they'll lay back, they'll get on ropes some, you know, they'll wait on you. But my stature, you know, I'm about 5'6" and a half, arms kind of short for the 140 weight class. So with that being said, I have to be aggressive, you know, but my skill set allows me to be a counterpuncher. You know, I have really good time and really good defense. So, and I see a lot of shots coming before they're actually thrown. I can kind of anticipate where my opponent's going to go. So that makes me a counterpuncher. But like I said, my short arms makes me have to fight on the inside a lot and be aggressive.
Oh man, that's what's up. Cause you know, it seemed like you pretty much caught his timing like right away in that fight, mm-hmm. and just basically like took control, just taking his shots. And I was like, man, I was just like, wow, cause I really haven't seen that in a while. You know what I'm saying, from a boxer. And you know what I'm saying, I was just like, wow, I was very impressed, very.
And that comes from a lot of tape. You know, we watch tape and we watch a lot of his habits that he you know, picked up, good habits and bad habits. Like, we knew, like I said, he didn't take a body shot well. But we also knew that he always slipped to my left hand. And, you know, they say southpaws get hit with right hands a lot. And when a right-handed fighter is fighting a southpaw, they get hit with hooks a lot. So I guess he would train himself to not get hit with that hook and always slip to my left, which would be his right. But he would always be slipping straight into my left hand. So, you know, we tried to exploit that as well. But all that comes from, you know, the game plan my team put, and us just sitting down and getting as much film on our opponents as possible.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, man. So, you know what I'm saying, with this fight out the box, are you on the Bradley and Rios undercard as well?
Indeed, I am.
Uh-oh. Y'all make sure y'all tune in, man, because it's gonna be straight skills and fireworks, man. So who's the opponent that you have for this one?
My opponent now is His name is Oscar Cortez. He's a guy, he's 25-2. So, you know, this is definitely a big, and hopefully after this fight, I'll be on TV, you know, maybe Truth TV, maybe HBO, but we're definitely looking for some TV time after this fight. This has been a big year for me, and we're going to finish off the year strong, just like we always do.
Exactly, man. So, you know what I'm saying, you being in, you know what I'm saying, the junior welterweight class, it's a lot of, we call it the killer's league, you know what I'm saying? That whole weight class is just talent, very talented. So do you want to clean out the division and then move up, or you just pretty much like kind of want to stay there or go to 147? Like, well, like exactly what you want to do?
I'm making my mark at 140 right now. And the crazy thing is I can make 35. So 35, 40, you know, that's where I'm going to be at for the most part of my career. I would like to move up at 47, you know, in a later part of my career, but I'm a 135, 140-pound fighter.
Hmm. Cool. So who would you like to see in the future? You know what I'm saying? Like once, you know what I'm saying, you start cleaning house in that division, like who would you like to see?
Who would I like to see? It really doesn't matter, you know. It really doesn't matter at all. I actually think the 140-pound weight class, 135, is definitely on its way up. You know, I'll never really say no names, but
right.
The rank has a plethora of guys at the 135, 140-pound that I can see myself mixing it up with.
Right. There's a lot of guys in there. There's a lot of interesting people in there that, you know what I'm saying, I feel like that you can really take just by seeing you so far. And I just pay attention to a whole lot, but it's a lot of talented guys in there. And, you know what I'm saying, I like to see you, you know what I'm saying, get it in with one of those guys and really give them a run. But, like, do you think, like, boxers duck certain opponents in fear of losing or, like, can you just explain that part? Like, if you want to fight so-and-so, and they, like, number one, number two, but they don't want to see, you know what I'm saying, Mike Reed. Like, why is that? Why do you think that happens? Like,
well, styles make fights, you know. And I'll just use myself because I know myself. I'm short. I am short. But I'm a southpaw, and I'm very slick. So that's some of the things that gives people problems, you know. People don't really like to see southpaws, and they don't like to see slick southpaws. That's why when Terrence Crawford switches, you know, back and forth to orthodox and southpaw, he actually gives everybody a lot of problems because he's always slick and he's southpaw. So, going back to your original question, I mean, people get ducked all the time, you know. People get ducked all the time because, let's say, it's a guy with a belt at 140. You know, and I'm ranked number three, and he doesn't have to fight me. He's not going to want to fight me because it's like, okay, well, if I fight him now, you know, it's really a win-lose situation. You know, if I fight him and lose, everybody's going to be like, okay, you know, you lost to an up-and-coming fighter. But now if I fight him and win, everybody's going to be like, well, you're supposed to win. So I think that plays a big role into fighters getting ducked. Also, matchup problems, you know, go back to when Antonio Margarito was getting ducked. He was a big 140-pound fighter, big 147-pound fighter. He was strong,
right.
You know, he had the height. So styles make fights, and, you know, some people, stylistically, they avoid it, you know, and hopefully that's not me. You know, I wanna fight all the fights that I can, you know, and just like you said, just clean house. But if I end up being one of those fighters that get ducked, then I'll just have to call people out until I get my chance.
Right, exactly, man. Because I kind of started noticing it like a couple years ago. It's like certain people was ducking fighters in fear. But I'm like, you're already in a brutal sport as it is. Why duck somebody, you know? So I don't know. But if I was still in it, I'd just go at whoever. So that's how I look at it. But It is what it is, but
of course, but the business side of the sport, you know, and not, you know, we all have our promoters, and our promoters, you know, they're financially stable, and they're well off because they know the sport, and they know how to move certain fighters, and it's a business, you know, so I'm pretty sure all fighters, if it was up to them, they would be like, hell, I want to fight anybody, you know.
Right.
I was listening to Lamont Peterson did an interview, and he said, I'm like between 140, 147, 154, and even 160. You know, if guys want work, I'll give them work. And that's a fighter's mindset, you know. I think it's the people behind the fighters that have to slow us down, because I think I'm ready for a world title fight in the next two fights, you know. But, of course, I have to give my handlers, you know, I have to allow them to handle me. And I have to allow Top Rank to promote me and get me ready, so to protect me from myself.
Hear you, man. I hear you. You know, because it's a lot of guys that Top Rank handles, and it's pretty, they got some great fighters in there, you know what I'm saying, as far as your weight class is concerned. Like, what you think about, let me see, can I think he's going to go to 140 one day, like Nicholas Walters? Like, your thoughts on him?
Nicholas Walters is a big 126-pound fighter. I think, well, we'll be fighting 122. I think he'll eventually creep his way up to 135, 140.
Yeah.
He's a big. He definitely can fight. You know, I was there in New York. I fought on the undercard of his last fight, so I watched him. And like I said, I saw his frame, and I saw he was overweight for that fight. So I mean, you can see that moving up will be imminent in the future for him. He can fight. You know, I think Nick can fight. I think he's really good for that weight class. But I would like to see if he made his weight all the way up to 140, 135. Would he carry his power, you know, because some guys don't carry that same knockout power up to the weight classes when they cut.
Yeah, it doesn't really, like, carry on, you know what I'm saying? But that's what I guess they got to rely on their skills, you know what I'm saying, which is a good backup, but you never know, you know what I'm saying, and things of that nature. But, you know, so it's going to be a very interesting class, you know, since Floyd's, like, tired for now. So the whole game is really open right now for somebody to take over. And everybody keeps saying they the next dude. But if everybody stops ducking people, then that'd be okay. Go ahead, bro.
I think so too. But I also think, you know, the promoters has a lot to do with it as well. You know, it's good to see that Top Rank and Golden Boy is, you know, trying to start back working together, because they both have good fighters in the same weight class that, you know, at the end of the day, the fans, if good fights are made, the fans are going to watch. And, you know, that's about it. You know, Boston, we have to appeal to the fans, make fights that need to be made. That's why I was so happy that the Floyd Mayweather Manny Pacquiao fight got made, even though I thought it was about 5 years past this time. The fans still got to see that fight. You also see Danny Jacobs and Peter Quillin, they're getting matched up. You know, Canelo and Cotto. So you kind of see the promoters putting all of their big egos to the side, working with each other just for the sake of boxing, and that's pretty cool.
Cool, man. You know, and speaking of those fights, who do you have winning in the Canelo and Cotto fight?
Canelo, Cotto, I got to go with a younger fighter, you know. Canelo is just a Miguel Cotto that's bigger, that's faster, that's younger, you know. And no disrespect to Miguel Cotto, because he's definitely one of my favorite fighters to watch, because we're built just to, like, he's about 5'7", reach the same, and to watch him maneuver and, you know, box these bigger guys, I liked it, you know, I liked it, so that's why I looked up to him in some situations. But I think Canelo is going to get him. I think he fights just like Miguel Cotto, but he's more explosive, and he's a lot faster, and he's a lot stronger. He's a bigger man, so I think like I said, Canelo will get it.
Yeah, they both been kind of like really knocking people out, getting the stoppage, you know what I'm saying, since their last losses. But Canelo, he's really been like, that's what I got for this fight. But then again, Canelo can't really fight back it up. And it's just going to be a good fight, though. But if Cotto throws the left hook and he punches off the angles, I think he can. I don't know, but his brother fought Canelo and kind of like took Canelo like back in the day. So it's going to be a good one, though. It's going to be a good one. So hopefully I get to cover that one. Yes, sir. So you got Peter Quillen, Danny Jacobs. Who you got?
I don't know, man. I don't know about that one, because you got Peter Quillen, who's explosive as far as his punching power is concerned, but he gets hit a lot. And then you got Danny Jacobs, who, you know, is a good sound boxer, and he does everything well. I don't know.
Yeah.
If I had to put money on it, if you forced me to pick a fighter. I think I'll probably go Peter Quillen. And I think I'll probably go Peter Quillen, because he's a bigger guy. He can box, you know, sometimes when he chooses to, if he has to. But that's what I think.
Yeah, yeah. Okay,
yeah.
Cool. Just had lost the drop, but yeah, but that fight, it's just I kind of leaned towards Jacobs in that fight. I'm kind of leaning towards Jacobs. Just because due to the speed that he has, but then when he gets too excited, like when he had Sergio, and he got a little bit excited, Sergio had caught him. So, you know what I'm saying? I don't know. It's gonna be a good fight, though. Shout out to Sergio, though. Seen him at the club, so cool dude. But I don't know, man. We'll see how that turns out, and then we also got. Who else out there? Bradley Rios. So you got?
Tim. I got Tim Bradley, because I think Tim will box early, and then I think it'll be a slugfest. And I think Tim will have what it takes coming down the stretch to beat Brad. I think Brandon is really a one-dimensional fighter, but he does.
Right.
He does what he does extremely well. You know, he puts pressure on fighters and makes them fight his fight extremely well. But I think he's one-dimensional, and I think he'll sucker Tim Bradley into fighting him, but I think Tim will be up ahead, you know, for the early work he put in. And, you know, that's how I see that going.
Okay, what? I'm really anticipating Bradley, since he's under Teddy Atlas. I just want to see, like, exactly what are they working on due to Teddy Atlas. You know what I'm saying? He has a great IQ, you know what I'm saying, for boxing and this and that. So I'm really kind of anticipating that, but I just want to see how Rios. It's really going to be a good fight. It's really going to be a great fight, you know what I'm saying? So I really don't have one yet for that one, but I guess, like, it depends how the odds look. So we're going to see how it come out. And so we also got Mike Green and his opponent. How that's going to turn out, man. TKO, KO, how it's going to go out, man. And
I'm trying to get another knockout, man. You know, it's a big stage for me. You know, HBO will be there. My fight will be streamed live on the TopRank.TV and then the Top Rank app. Like I said, I'm looking for another knockout, looking for another explosive performance, looking for another entertaining performance. And I don't really want to get an early knockout. Of course, if it comes, I'm going to take it. But I want to get another fourth round, fifth round knockout, you know, just so everybody can see my skill set. You know, everybody can see the full arsenal of Mike Reed.
Oh, hey, make sure y'all tune in and check out the app, you know what I'm saying, when this fight, you know what I'm saying, is going on. Y'all don't want to miss it, you know what I'm saying, and it's going to be a dope fight. And he just gonna do his thing, so make sure y'all check it out, you know what I'm saying. So it's going to be a real good fight that's going to be at the Thomas & Mack Center in Las Vegas, here in Las Vegas. And hopefully, you know what I'm saying, Top Rank will holler at me to cover the fight again. So it's going to be all good. And I definitely will be in the building or watching it somewhere, you know what I'm saying? So it's going to be a good fight, man. So, you know, so before we head out, man, can you please tell us, like, your whole training method? Like, how's your training going?
Training going wonderful, man. Really can't complain. Well, I can't complain because I'm tired as hell all the time. But, you know, training's good. You know, we working on a couple things, you know, a couple shots, you know, just punch placement and things like that. I just fought. And then, like I said, I was Lamont Peterson's main sparring partner, and I also helped Adrian Brown out while he was in D.C. So,
right.
You know, I haven't had the time to get out of shape. I'm still in shape for my last fight. And then, you know, it's just, you can see a total package of Mike Lee, you know. I'm training twice a day, every day, Monday through Friday. And then on the weekends, I'm training, you know, I'm going running, and then I'm going to the gym. So.
Wow.
Yeah,
It's a lot, man. So you, like, you know what I'm saying, working with Adrian Broner, Lamont Peterson, like, you know, so how is it working with those guys that's pretty much out there and, you know what I'm saying, like, what kind of feed they give you, you know what I'm saying, for you coming up, you know what I'm saying, in a dominant weight class?
Man, you know, I learned so much working with them guys, and I learned so much because of course, sparring. You know, when I'm sparring them, it's like I'm learning, you know, I'm learning on the job. And if I make a mistake, they'll capitalize on me or they'll, like, one time I made a move, and I think I threw, like, a jab to the body, but it was lazy, and I felt myself open for a counter, and Lamont didn't even hit me, but he let it be known that he could have hit me, you know. And
right.
That's him just teaching me, you know. Sometimes, like I said, you don't always have to get hit to be taught a lesson in boxing, you know. Like,
right.
I felt myself do it, and when I was doing it, I was like, I shouldn't do it. And then he could have hit me with a right hand and hit me right on my chin, but he decided not to throw the punch. But he was like, you see, I could have threw it. I was like, yeah, I understand. But to get the call to be asked, you know, can you be Lamont's main farm partner? Can you be Adrian Broner's sparring partner while he's down here? To get those calls, that lets me know I'm doing something right, you know, that solidifies that Mike Reed is doing something right, because they're world champions, you know, they're world champions, and they just want to continue to climb, and that helps me climb as well. So it's pretty dope, you know, having those guys as my, you know, having those guys to learn from.
Oh, man. That's what's up, man. So, you know what I'm saying, before we head out, man, anything you want to say, any shout-outs you want to give, man?
Man, shout-out to you for making this interview happen. You know, shout-out to my man, Lauren, for, you know, following it up and hitting you up, you know. Shout-out to Top Rank. You know, shout-out to Top Rank because they doing a hell of a job in moving me. I couldn't be happier, you know. When I signed with them, one of the biggest things that we wanted to do was remain busy, and that's exactly what we've done. So shout out to Top Rank, and then shout out to Team Yes and BB. You know, all the guys that came out to Vegas, all the guys that's ever supported me in any way. You know, especially the guys that supported me when I wasn't fighting out of town, when I was just fighting home on local shows. I wouldn't have been able to do it without everyone that bought tickets. You know, the people that bought tickets knew the struggle, and you know, I was fighting almost every 6 weeks, 5 to 6 weeks. So they was coming out of their pocket pretty heavy. But I was always also putting on shows, so it wasn't like they weren't getting their money worth. You know, they was always getting their money's worth. So that, you know, just thank you all. You know, thank you all. Everybody that helped me get to this point, thank you. No, I really appreciate it.
Oh, man, that's what's up, man. I just want to say God bless, man. Keep doing your thing. And I'll be out there, you know what I'm saying, Thomas and Matt covering, man, and just giving everybody the updates on the fight, man. So make sure y'all hit him up, follow him on Twitter, Facebook, the whole thing. And just be on the lookout. Remember, you heard it here first, you know what I'm saying? And it's going to be all good, man. Just continue to do your thing. I'll see you November 7th, man.
Yes, indeed, man. Thank you.
All right, man, we out. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Shout out to, you know what I'm saying, Mike. Yes, indeed. Reed, 140. You know what I'm saying? Official dude. And y'all going to be in the real treat when y'all see this brother fight November 7th. You know what I'm saying? And be on the lookout next week. I got a whole lot going on. I'm still, you know what I'm saying, for those that's traveling, I'm a travel agent, you know what I'm saying, so you're trying to book flights, hotels, car rentals, and all that stuff, let me know, and I got y'all. Just hit me up, 702-677-5966. It's nothing, you know what I'm saying, and I'm out, man.